Well, everybody, it has finally happened. It has been 63 games, and the Bruins broke the record, 63-12-2. It is amazing. Can you imagine? At the beginning of the year, we were all thought this team was going to be outside of the playoffs, maybe a wild card, but here we are sitting with them 2 points away, a win away from breaking the all-time points record held by the 76-77 Montreal Canadiens. But either way, I'm Jeff Hoke here with Jamie Gatlin, with Chris Henrique and Kevin Perdidos for yet another episode of Shorthanded Takes, a Boston Bruins podcast, brought to you by and presented by Beyond the Monster. Welcome back for another week. We are in the final week of the regular season finally, and Stanley Cup playoffs start promptly in 1 week. So with that being said, this episode is going to be based off of the most recent win. This is an instant reaction podcast because the Boston Bruins have clinched and finally won their 63rd game, beating the Philadelphia Flyers 5-3 today. Jamie, I'll start with you. You've been at work all day, so you probably got to see some of it, maybe all of it. I don't know, but instant reaction here, 63 wins later. The Bruins are standing alone in history books.
Yeah, I mean, instant reaction. My manager asked. I was not streaming the game for my whole entire shift. I'm on a different browser at all. But, I mean, I feel like it was a win that just was, like, perfect because it defined how this team has been all year. You sat, you know, you had a couple guys in the lineup from Providence just because you want to rest your veterans. They still won single-handedly. Pasternak was like, screw it, I'll score 60 tonight and get that over with. You know, it's just, I feel like a win that showed the depth of this team. And then it was kind of cool to see the 60 goals for Pasternak mixed in and just a night that was full of record-breaking and showing why this team is, frankly, a team that we might never see again with everything that they've accomplished in the regular season.
And you mentioned it. Even David Pastrnak had a night. He just destroys. And when he plays the Philadelphia Flyers, he just absolutely goes off. And once again, he goes off again today. I think they said he has 11 hat tricks. 11 goals against the Flyers, and it's just absolutely insane. They said he has like 3 hat tricks against this team, and it's like, wow. And he once again does it again today, 3 goals, including his 60th goal. So thank God they signed him, because that price is going to keep going up at this point. So they signed him when they could, got him at a good deal at this point. But Chris, David Pastrnak on a day like this, you know, says it feels good to be able to break the record. And obviously now you're looking ahead to the Stanley Cup playoffs, but it's a historic day all around and the Bruins should be celebrating this.
Yeah, he should have actually had 4 goals. I don't agree with that goal that was called off. I mean, the dude was pushed from behind into that play, but that's just me. But yeah, it was great to see Pasta. I mean, he's owned, like you said, the Philadelphia Flyers from pretty much the last couple of years. So it's nice they got this out of the way. I know the whole points thing, but I just rather not have guys that can be put into a position where they could get hurt at this point. You got the 63, I'd move on, but it was fun watching the Bruins game tonight, because you could tell that, you know, Pasta was going to have a night considering the players that weren't there and that weren't playing. It was great to see it. And to Jamie's point, I don't know if we're going to see this again. You know, this just wasn't expected. This is not a team that anybody picked to do this. I mean, yeah, what was it, 105 points last year?
Yes.
So probably a 100-point team, but not a team that is legitimately breaking records left and right.
Kevin, what say you on the aspect of, you know, 105 points last year under Bruce Cassidy? He gets canned. They didn't make it far, obviously. But 1 year later, under head coach Jim Montgomery, you're looking at 131 points, possibly 133 points if you win another game.
Yeah, I'll be the first to admit that I definitely did not expect this coming. I was probably the one going full steam ahead of that it was a mistake to let Cassidy go. You know, to take a page out of Felger's book on let's just be a cynical asshole because there's nothing else to really talk about. we can explore the option of that. You know, look how weak this team was, that they let a coach get in their way of being this good. But no, you know, I think it's awesome to see. It reminds me a lot of that. DeCross Sports, as always, will just keep continuing to piss off Felger and Maz, because why not? And DeCross Sports, it kind of reminds me of the 2018 Red Sox. Like, you knew they would be good, but like, what they're doing is just special. It's like, you know, you think it will be a tough game with Bergeron, Krejci, McAvoy, whoever else, you know, three or four other guys that were out tonight. You kind of like, oh, maybe this is a game that gets away from them, or, you know, but it turns out to be, it's nice to see, nice to get it out of the way. You've got two regular season games left. No need to really push anything. Let all these main guys rest up. There's no need to, you know, that illustrious 63 win total is out of the way now, and you got two games to play with. So I think it's good. And like we've said all year, it's pretty impressive to see that they can still put up five goals, you know, with their main core guys, or a lot of their main core guys, out.
Yeah, no, you mentioned it. And I mean, look, this, we talk about, you know, having this team, you know, start resting guys, and they have been, and they called up people like Vinny Leteri and Sam Carrick and all these guys, and they're still winning. They're still going out here and winning 5-3. Now, given, you know, the Flyers aren't a very good team, and their goalie's 2-12 with almost a 4 goals against average. But you know, and you follow the Providence Bruins quite a bit. The Providence Bruins, I don't want to say are the same as the Boston Bruins, but they are a very good team down there in Providence, and they match up very well to the NHL level when they come up. So they're not really missing a beat.
Yeah, I think that's something that's been big too. I mean, looking ahead, you know, we obviously know that Krejci and Bergeron, they have uncertain futures. So it's good that they're in the position down the stretch they have been, where you can kind of give Steens, Carrick, who I love him, honestly, more Carrick down the stretch. But that you can have these guys come up and give them these extra minutes that you otherwise they wouldn't be getting. You can kind of see what the future holds, and what we've seen the last couple of weeks, future looks pretty good with what's coming at the next level. You know, that's not, it hasn't been known the last couple of years of having those like generational prospects, but they have a bunch of good talent in Providence that when they're getting their shots, they're making the most of it.
Now, I suppose you, Chris, I'll go to you on this one, because you did mention about the fact of starting to sit guys more and more now. You're most likely probably going to see Pastrnak sit on Tuesday, I would think. I don't think Marchand is going to sit at this point. He's adamant that he does not want to sit because he missed a good chunk of the first half of the season. So he wants to keep playing and keep everything going. And he's been in a massive rut too. I don't think he has scored since February. So I don't think you really can take him off the ice at this point. But you know, the points are still out there. Just need one more win to get the points. Are you trying to push for that while also resting players?
I mean, me personally, I don't really care about the points anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the wins was the, I mean, what is the point? I guess my thought would be is like, what do the points matter? You've gotten 63 wins, President's Cup, Pasta scored 60, 300 career goals. These guys are having a career year. Yeah, I mean, if you can get it. But I don't want to get it at the detriment of, you know, these are meaningless games. These last two games, the only thing that they mean is to these players is padded stats. You know, I'm not overly familiar with, you know, I don't know if some of these guys have incentive clause or anything like that to whether or not they score X amount of goals or and stuff like that. But if you can get it and you get it, but you're healthy, cool. But it, to me, I don't really so much, I guess at this point, care about the points. The 63 was important. I know that we've kind of been back and forth in that the last couple of weeks recording, but the 63 wins was important. They got that. But I know there's going to be fans that they want it all. So, again, if you can get it, but you got to be careful.
Now, Obviously, also Allmark didn't play today either. He wasn't even at the stadium today. Be there. There wasn't even a goalie hug, and that makes Jamie distraught. And I'll get to that in a second. I'll get to that in a second for you, Jamie. Don't you worry. But
thanks, Dad.
Kevin. On the end of other things here, you know, are you worried about the points record at all? Or are you kind of just content with the wins?
No, I'm 100% content with the wins. I think the wins was what was the most important out of the two. You know, like Chris said, I know we were going back and forth, but I think the biggest takeaway is that they got the wins by still sitting guys. And that's kind of what we said was the most important. They weren't pushing anyone. They still let Bergeron, Allmark, Bergeron, Krejci, Allmark, McAvoy, all those guys kind of sit and take a rest when they need. And that's what's most important. The points I don't give two shits about, to be honest. I mean, it's, again, nice to get it, but you gotta get it in the way of still allowing your core guys to rest, because at the end of the day, if you don't win the Stanley Cup, that's what people are going to remember. And that's what true fans will remember. So the points and the record and all that's, it's a nice feather in your cap, but you really got to put the finishing touches on and win the Stanley Cup here.
Yeah. I mean, if I've seen it all over the place, and I do 100% agree. Been a fun season overall, 100%. I've had so much fun watching the team this season, but if they don't win the cup, it's a disappointment. At the end of the day, it's a disappointment if you don't win the cup, and it doesn't. I mean, it still has the same sentiment to it, but watching a team like this playing like they are not win the cup, it's a devastating blow. 100%.
Can I also just, before we get off this subject, I want 30 seconds of a rant.
Yeah, go ahead.
The cesspool that is Twitter, that is just shitting all over the, like, well, you know, the Montreal Canadiens, if they were able to play overtime, shut the fuck up. Get out of my face. Like, that, yes, we understand that. We understand that if that team was able to play overtime and they went 500 in the overtime, that they have all, that's great, right? That's great. But if the MLB guys were allowed to use steroids, someone would have hit 90 home runs by now. If the NFL was like, you can't be doing this. It's not the player's fault. It's not the team's fault that the leagues change. And you have to honor them with what's around. It's the same thing when the Patriots were trying to go 18-0 and what the Dolphins came out all pissy while we were, this isn't real. Shut up. Shut up. Like, just – the teams play in the league that they're assigned, right? And they can't make the rules. They can't control how many games they play. They can't control, you know, if they're playing in overtime or not. Like, that's all that stuff's up to the owners and, yeah, the Players Association. But stop that. It's awesome to be able to see this. It's awesome to be able to witness it. Just sit back and enjoy it. You know, I know the – Canadians fans, the Maple Leafs fans, they'll probably all hate it because it's the Bruins, but everyone outside of Boston and Canada, sit back and just enjoy hockey history. I think it's cool. And I am 2 seconds away from snapping on all those people that are like, well, it doesn't count because the Canadians would have been that much better. Yeah. Take a long walk off a short cliff with that. All right.
Well, there. I like it. I completely agree with that because it's, I mean, different generations, different teams. Plus the Canadians, that 77, 76, 77 Canadians team played an absolute shit 13 teams who were not good at all. So that's a completely different story for a different day. And we'll jump to a different topic now because I want to talk about the goalies. And I'm going to go to Jamie for this. Now, no legit goalie hug today. They announced before the game because Allmark was not there. Allmark got the night off and he was just not, he stayed in Boston. He stayed in Boston with his family, which is, he deserves. He's one win away from, breaking, I believe, the all time Bruins goalie wins. But they had Brandon Bussy backing up Jeremy Swayman. And instead of a goalie hug, they did a group team hug at the end of the game. So, Jamie, does that matter to you? Is this a superstition for you that there was no goalie hug after the game?
No, I mean, for me, I'd have to retract my statement. I got a little bit hot-headed about the whole goalie hug situation. Because I like a lot that they did a whole team hug. I think it just shows that these guys all play for each other and they kind of don't. For them, the personal accolades are kind of separate, that they care more about the team success. So it's nice to see now some pat on the back, the whole group hug. I just like some goal hug because I feel like it's this unique thing with Allmark and Swayman and kind of them just showing their unique bond. But I'm all about the team hugs. You know, I just really wanted the video for the to share with the followers is kind of my main thing about it. So yeah, as long as there is some hugging about the accomplishment, I'm happy.
What about you, Chris? Are you a fan of the team hug after the game?
So I am. And, you know, there was times too this year where didn't like Foligno jump in and do.
Yeah, back when Sway was hurt.
So, I don't know. I mean, Swayman should have, you know, got a hug or something from, is it Boopy or Bussy?
Bussy.
But it would have been, I think I get not doing it for the 63 win because it would have been more of a special moment if it was with Allmark because of what those two have done together this year. So I'm fine, I guess, overall thinking about it. So, but if they get this points, I don't care who the goalie is. They need to, I don't know, they need to bump chests or something.
Chris gets me. Chris understands.
So after the game, so this was Swayman got a win today. And he, you know, he wasn't bad, obviously. A couple bad goals. First goal, which was about 15 seconds after the Bruins goal, was kind of a rebound goal that he should have had and went in. A couple of other, you know, goals, but that was mostly on the defense. But after the game, he gave tribute to his former head coach, Red Gendron, passed away 2 years ago today. And Swayman was in Philadelphia for that game when that happened. So it was kind of an emotional thing for him. And, you know, good for him. I knew Red. Red's a great guy. He was a great coach. But, you know, that kind of everything adding up together. It was kind of a storybook ending of a game for Sway there. I want to talk about, before we wrap things up here, I want to talk about something really quick because I've seen a lot of chatter about this, and I want to get your guys' opinion on this. This Boston Bruins team is far and away different and better than the 2019 Tampa Bay Lightning. In a way that I am, I'll go to Kevin first on this. In a way that I am saying this is because a lot of people are comparing because they got swept out of the first round against the Columbus Blue Jackets. And they had Nikita Kucherov out for most of the season and came back and all that fun stuff. But in my opinion, this Boston Bruins team is far and away better than the Tampa Bay Lightning of 2019 because Tampa Bay had to win their last two games just to get to 62. The Bruins are on pace for 65 now if they win out. But this is a team that has not let up on the gas and does not plan to let up on the gas, something that I think Tampa Bay did, and I think Tampa Bay overlooked them a little bit in the first round of Columbus. Kevin, do you think that same thing, or are you kind of – wavering?
No, it's tough. I think it's definitely tough. The whole Kucherov thing, I think we all kind of smelled bullshit on it and hated that they were exploiting that rule. But, you know, credit to them for being able to do that. And I think the hockey gods had our backs by allowing them to get eliminated in the first round. But, you know, that team is that team is still very good. And the Bruins have a track record of letting us down in the playoffs, to say the least. So I think that that little nugget always kind of like pokes you in the back of the head of like, hey, just remember though, it's the Bruins. Hey, just kind of remember that. you know, and I don't think that this is the case with this team. I'm not really one to buy into that they're like a choke artist team or anything like that. I think this team's special. It's a special group. It's a talented group. I do think if you had to put the 2019 Lightning versus this team, it's probably a six-game series with the Bruins winning, strictly because I think the Bruins have shown that they are deeper and they can still produce at a high level with their main guys out. So I would say they're probably a better team, having two goalies still playing at a high level. Yep. You know, I would definitely say they're a better team, but I do think it would be a very good and close series.
And that's another thing I didn't mention was the depth. Big piece to as to why I think this is because, I mean, Christ, you look at the third line and it could be your second line, first line, and still be scoring machine for you. You have Pastrnak, Bertuzzi, and Zacha on one line, and that's a second line. That could be a first line, and they're still out here scoring goals, and that was a big reason why Pastrnak had his hat trick today. I mean, if you re-sign Bertuzzi, and you could have that, and let's say Bergeron and Krejci go, you got a full line right there ready to go. Jamie, what say you on the fact of the comparison of the 2019 Tampa team to this year's Bruins team?
Yeah, I mean, I agree that they're different, kind of like we said with the depth, and I also just feel like they're playing for more, just in the sense of you don't know if, you know, Bergeron and Krejci, if this is their last run. I think you could kind of see the locker room rally around that. It just seems like every single time they're on the ice, they find a way to win, no matter who's in the lineup, who the matchup is, what the expectations are on a given night. This team just has a special feel for it that kind of – I don't really know what would stop them at this point. Obviously, the playoffs, anything can happen, but they just kind of seem like the team of destiny, to sound cliche about it. And I kind of agree with Kevin that even if they played that Lightning team, it would be a close series, but I would still take this Bruins team, you know, in that series every single time.
Who are you taking, Chris?
I hit the wrong button. I thought I unmuted. I'm not saying this because we're a Bruins podcast, but I would have to say the Bruins. I mean, this team is, I just think it's deeper. It's better. I mean, you got the goaltending, the defense is stronger than what we've seen in years. Was there actually really quick, was there any outcome with Carlo tonight? I don't recall.
I haven't heard anything. It doesn't sound like it was anything major.
Right, it just popped in my brain as I was looking. But no, I mean, you have a 60 goal scorer, one of two in the NHL right now, with McDavid. And I know, like, a lot of times where, you know, we'll talk about, and I don't say like we, but like in sports, just how teams are clicking. There's portions of the fan base that don't believe in that. Or fans, rather, that don't believe in that. But I believe that that's 100% a massive, massive reason why this team is what they are this year. They want to win for each other. They care about each other. And I think that goes a real long way. So I think that the Bruins could beat that Lightning team 100%. I mean, no, I wouldn't get it wrong. That was a really good team, too. But
oh, no, I'm not saying they're a bad team. And they were a good team.
Bruins, I think the Bruins would take – I would say would go seven.
It just seems like – yeah, no, I just – it just seems like a lot of comparison, and it just feels like the Bruins are playing for something more than what Tampa Bay was playing for that year. And it, you know, it just has that feel. I don't want to jinx it. Obviously I'm very superstitious about this kind of stuff. And cause 2019, you know, I don't want to go there, but you know, it's just feels like the year. But that being said, this one, before we do our predictions for the rest of the week, I want to throw this out there. Swayman did mention hug number 63. In his post game, he says, "I was a little bummed that Ullmark wasn't going to make the trip, but it was awesome. Bus came in. He was iffy. And I said, come on over here. Bussy then said he just waved me in and I had to go. So, you know, but they did a goalie hug. There was a goalie hug after the game.
I'm going to need video of that at a later date,
but you know, it might've been a little awkward, but Bussy did come in through in the clutch for everybody at the end of the day. Even if Swayman did have to pretty much yank him in to make it work. So
why is my favorite goal in Providence right there? That's why he's my guy.
And he rookie season has having a great rookie season as well down there. I hear they're bringing him back next season. He's a restricted free agent, so that he will be back next season. That being said, next couple games, two games left now. You got the Capitals on Tuesday, Montreal on Thursday, and then it is the playoffs. Let's see, do the boys win out or do they split? I'm going to start with Chris.
It would be fitting to take down the Canadiens to end the season just because they've played Washington well. I know if I go 2-0, it flies in the face of like saying like, oh, don't care about the points, just do whatever. But I don't know how they come down off this high from this win, getting the 63 and the pasta energy and stuff like that. I think that they can plug and play younger players with some of the veterans that are already on the roster and still continue to move this beast along the next two games. So I'm going to go 2-0.
Jamie, what say you?
Yeah, I agree. I just have the momentum they have. They're not going to lose. And they've already shown that they can kind of mix and change and still find a way to win. So give me more steam. Give me more Oscar Steen and Carrick over the next two games. That's what I want.
The steam train, baby. Kevin, what say you?
I'm very tempted to go 1-1, but every time I do it, it backfires on me. So I guess 2-0. You know, Washington, if they were to lose, it'd be the Washington game. You're not losing the fucking Canadiens. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine you decide to lose to the Canadiens after, oh man,
after all that hype?
Yeah, right. I'd lose my mind. But yeah, I think they end up going 2-0. I think the Washington game will be a very good game, just considering they're probably both sitting guys sitting.
Gonna be a lot of youngsters in that game, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I think it'd be nice to see them kind of win out, and I think that it would be nice to see the young guys take over. I think it will end up being 2-0 for sure.
Yeah, and when we get back, we'll be recording again next Sunday because I'm off. I got to work next couple Mondays, so and we'll be doing Sundays and posting on Mondays from next couple weeks. But when we get back, it will be full into the Stanley Cup playoffs finally. And, you know, it's going to be an exciting time here. It's been a fun regular season, but, you know, the only thing that matters now is that the We Want the Cup champ chant comes true, and that, you know, at the end of the day, we be having a parade down Boylston with some duck boats. And Jamie,
I'm going to drive one. I'm going to drive a boat.
Jamie's going to get drunk out of his mind with Kevin and Chris, and I'm going to have to drive him home and drive him around because that's how this all works. And I just know, even though Jamie's going to be in Tampa, he's going to find a way to get up here for that somehow, some way.
So we are accruing the vacation time as we speak for this trip.
I took vacation in June, and it's based around, and obviously it has everything to do with this, but I based it around the Stanley Cup Finals. So if the Bruins do make it, I don't have to go to work during it. If they don't make it, well, I got a vacation I can enjoy. So got that going.
If I have to work remotely from my childhood bedroom at my parents' house to make it work, that's what we're gonna do.
Just a little race car bed over there, Jamie.
Dude, it never fails, you know.
Hey, whatever gets the chicks, man.
Especially night coming home drunk after visiting the hometown, that race car is very appealing.
Oh man.
Anyway, with that being said, as always, I'm Jeff Hoke here with Jamie Gatlin, Kevin Perdios, and Chris Henrique, and this has been yet another episode of Shorthanded Takes, a Boston Bruins podcast, brought to you by Beyond the Monster. We'll see you guys next week.